John chapter 3. We're going to look at a little more in-depth study today and probably Wednesday on eternal security. So in John chapter 3, and I will try to, I got a lot going on right now, so I will try. My goal is to have a handout for Wednesday night. Talking about eternal security. Of course, we know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So here's the thing. It says God gives you everlasting life. Everlasting life lasts forever. Well, the opposition of eternal security always says, well, you have everlasting life, but you can lose it. Well, then it's not everlasting. If you keep it, you keep it forever, but if you lose it, you lost it. And I understand how you might be able to do some mental gymnastics and spiritual gymnastics and say, well, you've got it, but you won't have it later. But we're going to look at why you keep it. How we don't really keep it anyway. He keeps it for us. So John 3:16 says God gives us everlasting life at salvation. Look at John 10, 28 and 29. John chapter 10. We're going to go over a lot of stuff we went over, but I want to, by the grace of God, we're going to put together a study that you will not ever be able to have the devil tell you you're going to lose it. Worry about it. Or at least you understand more why we believe it. John chapter number 10, verse 28. Well, let's look at 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now, earlier he was talking about the sheep, the house of Israel, and then he was talking about other sheep I have that are not of this fold, and then he was talking about the church here. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Verse 29 says, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So that's pretty secure if you're in God's hand. But then again, like I said before, we're not like a greasy marble in the palm of his hand. We're part of his hand. We're the body of Christ. So that, again, is more eternal security. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1:13, talking about Christ here, it says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So here it says you trusted after you heard and believed, and you were sealed. And in verse 14 says, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession and to the praise of his glory. So you're sealed. That's got to mean something. Does that mean the lid's half off and you could be spilled out? No, it's sealed. Just like Noah and the ark, God shut them in. When he shut them in, if Noah would have shut the ark, maybe it would have leaked. I don't know. But God shut them in. It says that for a reason. God shut them in. Now look at Ephesians chapter 2. Okay. And you hath he quickened, verse 1, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So right there it says lost people are dead, and then God quickens you and gives you life. And then it says he puts you in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So you're in heavenly places in Christ now. So it's a done deal. You're sealed. You're in Christ. He's at the right hand of God the Father. You're in him. He's in you. You can't get any more secure than that. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. And believe me, we're just going to scratch the surface of the study today. We're going to get into it more. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Now jump back to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3. And look at verse 25. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, which is the law. Lost people are still under a schoolmaster. And they're under the law, which is pointing them to Christ. We are no longer under the law. So how are you going to be judged by the law if you're no longer under it? Now, I'm not talking about whether he's going to chase you or not. I'm talking about eternal security. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ. So now we're adopted into his family. We're children of God. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ. So what are we baptized into? We're baptized into Christ. And we know that's a spiritual baptism. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Baptized into Christ. Galatians says you're in Christ. No Jew or Gentile. We're all one in Christ. In Christ. In Christ. In Christ. It also talks about being children of God. You know why it mentions that? Because people that are lost are not children of God. But you hear that a lot, amen? You hear, well, we're all God's children. You're all the children of some God, but if you're the God of the Bible, you're going to have to go through Jesus Christ to be his child, adopted in that family. Now look at, let's go to John 5. I know we're kind of jumping around a bit, but John chapter 5. Verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. So right there it says you have ever, if you're saved, you have, present tense, everlasting life. You're not working toward everlasting life. It says you have it, present tense, right? Then it says shall not come into condemnation. Well, that's definite legal terminology. It's like may not, or might not, or possibly not. It shall not. It's a definite statement. So you have, if you're saved today, you have everlasting life now. And you shall not come into condemnation. So where do you guys get that once saved, always saved? I like to talk about eternal security. That once saved, always saved, they always use that to cheapen it, to make it sound like we're goofballs. But it's eternal security. And they're really not taking a shot at us. They're taking a shot at what Christ did. Look at John chapter 3 again. John chapter 3. Nicodemus and Jesus Christ. Jesus answered, verse 3, and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So he's telling him you need to be born again. Nicodemus is running around in his flesh, thinking about his flesh. He says, oh, you've been born once, but you've got to be born again. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, so that's first birth and second birth, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say, or that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. All right. What's the second birth do? It puts you in Christ. Makes you one of the children of God. We just seen that earlier. Look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1. Beginning in verse 18. For as much as ye know that we were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by tradition from your father, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last days, or excuse me, these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, and your faith and hope, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing you have purified your souls in the obeying of truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. Now there's some really important stuff we just read that we gloss over a lot of times. Look what it says in verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your soul. You know what it doesn't say? Seeing you have purified your flesh. See, people get confused because your flesh isn't saved. And people, well, how could I sin? You know what Paul said? Yet not I, but sin that dwelleth in me. Paul says it's not me anymore, it's the sin. It's the old man. What has been purified at salvation? What's saved? It's your soul. Your soul's either going to heaven or hell. Your soul is saved. Your flesh isn't saved. This flesh can't be saved. This flesh is going to pay the price that Adam paid. It's going to the ground. Or we could get changed, but this flesh isn't going with us. Amen. So, right there it says, seeing you've purified your souls. And how do I know that? Look at verse 24. For all flesh is grass. The flesh isn't saved. The flesh is going away. But your soul is saved. And that's where the confusion comes. A lot of the confusion comes in when people say, well, how can you get saved and just live like the devil? Well, I kind of wonder that too, about all of us, but I'm not worried about eternal security because the Bible's clear on that. We're adopted in the family of God. Now you see it. Let's look at it more physically. You've seen people that have, let's say they have five kids, and three of them are just stellar citizens. They go to church, they tithe, they do everything they're supposed to do. You think, good night, man, that's some of the best people I ever met. And two of them are just terrible. They're still their kids. They're just not being good kids. So we're adopted into the family of God, and we're not born again by corruptible seed. We're born by incorruptible seed. You know what that means? He started something incorruptible in us. The soul can't be corrupted anymore. The soul's born again. It's purified. The thing is, we're not counting on our righteousness. It's His righteousness. Our soul has been given His righteousness. Our flesh hasn't, obviously. The reason Jesus came and walked this earth and died and was buried and rose again, and the reason He had to do that, is that's the only flesh that was ever not corrupted. You know, David said, neither shall my soul see corruption. What, David's flesh seen it, but his soul didn't. Christ never seen it, period. He became sin for us, but He never had any sin in Him. He didn't need to have His soul purified. And since He was perfect in the flesh, and His flesh walked perfectly, and He had the perfect blood, He's able to purify our soul, not our flesh. That's what people say, they all the time. Have you had people ask you, well, how can you believe that you're just once saved, always saved? What's that stuff? Because the flesh isn't saved. Jesus Christ didn't come to save this flesh. Flesh is temporal. Look at verse 27 or 24 again. But all flesh is grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. Now here's something interesting. Look what it says in verse 25. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. You know what you got inside of you? You've got somebody inside of you called the Word of God that endures forever. That's your enduring. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. That's for the tribulation stuff. But if you want to apply that at all, He's enduring forever. The Word endureth forever. And this is the Word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And what's preached unto you? Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection. That endures forever. That gives you everlasting life. That doesn't give you a hall pass to do okay for a little while. It gives you everlasting life because He doesn't purify your flesh. He purifies your soul. That which is born of God cannot commit sin. You ever say, look right there, if you sin, you're not born of God. It's your soul that's born of God. You see, we sometimes look at Paul like, well, he just understood everything because he was a prophet. You know, he said stuff and he had no idea what was going on. He said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life shall I live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And then he turns around and says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? You know what he's saying? He's saying, if I do anything right, it's Christ in me. And then he says, who's going to deliver me from this flesh? Well, the Lord did. He's already delivered you from the flesh. He just hasn't done it geographically totally yet. And we'll get into that later, too. But I want to stop right there for this morning and go down and have some coffee. I need coffee. But we're going to get into some more